University. This is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is that time of the day once again. Your favorite time of the day, hopefully. Yes, it's time for Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. I'm a little under the weather still, but hey, I'm muscling through, you know, with this weather changing from hot to cold, from cold to hot. I mean, this weekend is supposed to be 65 and sunny, folks. Right now, it's a bit chilly outside. When the weather fluctuates like that, it bothers me a lot. But hey, I'm still trucking through, and here, I'm, I can't miss you guys. You guys are what I live for, all right? But we have a great show in store for you today. On today's show, of course, with it still being Rivalry Week, we're going to play a fun little show, a trivia show, if you will, that is going to pit two of our interns against one another in a Michigan and Michigan State football history trivia game. It's going to be pretty fun. We'll also talk a little Red Wings, NBA owners failing to pass a draft lottery reform to prevent teams from tanking. And yes, it's Thursday, so that's Throwback Thursday, folks, and we also have an outstanding guest for you as well. All of that and so much more. But before we get to all of that, as custom here on Current Sports, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners brought to you by Andrew Hayes.
I'm Andrew Hayes, and here are your quick hit headliners for October 23rd, 2014. MSU announced this morning that the Scandalaris family is providing a $10 million facilities gift to enhance the Spartan football, golf, and basketball programs. The $10 million is the largest single gift ever received by MSU Athletics. The money will be divided between the programs, with $3 million being used to renovate and make improvements to the training and locker rooms in the Scandalaris Football Center, and another $3 million being used to support the construction of a new MSU golf facility. The other $4 million will be designated for capital improvements in support of the basketball program at the Breslin Center. Planning for that project has already begun. Four men with Michigan State ties and three former Michigan standouts are among 75 players and six coaches from the Football Bowl subdivision up for election to the College Football Hall of Fame. The National Football Foundation on Wednesday released the ballot for the class that will be announced January 9th. Those on the ballot from MSU are former receiver Kirk Gibson and running backs Clinton Jones and Lorenzo White, along with Daryl Rogers, who coached the Spartans from 1976 to 1979. The ex-Wolverines are offensive tackle Jumbo Elliott, running back Rob Little, and defensive tackle Mark Messner. The Royals evened up the World Series last night with a 7-2 victory. They used a 5-run six to take the lead and held on to it. The Royals bullpen pitched 3 2/3 innings of one-hit ball and are now 7-0 this postseason. The series moves to San Francisco Friday night. Game time is scheduled for 8:07 p.m. After no goals were scored in regulation or overtime, the Okemos boys soccer team defeated Forest Hills Central 5-4 in shootouts. Okemos advances to the Division I state semifinals, where they will play Saline Saturday on a neutral field in Grand Rapids. Three other local teams have also made their divisional state semis: East Lansing and Mason in Division II, and Williamston in Division III. All teams play this weekend, and winners will compete for state titles November 1st. This week, Lions wide receiver Calvin Johnson practiced on back-to-back days for the first time since week 3. Lions coach Jim Caldwell said, quote, "When they ramp up their activity that way, the most important thing is what they feel like the following day. And today he came back feeling good, so that's encouraging." The Lions play the Atlanta Falcons in London on Sunday. Kick is scheduled for 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Tigers outfielder Torrey Hunter has expressed interest in returning to baseball in 2015 and would like it to be with the Detroit Tigers. Quote, "I really want to play with the Tigers, but if not, I understand," Hunter said Wednesday, according to MLive.com. Quote, "Baseball will keep going with or without you." In two seasons with Detroit, the 39-year-old has made an All-Star appearance and won a Silver Slugger Award. Former LSU quarterback Zach Mettenberger will make his first career NFL start this Sunday for the Tennessee Titans after first-string quarterback Jake Locker got injured and backup Charlie Whitehurst was benched. The Titans will play the Houston Texans Sunday at 1 p.m. Dana White and the UFC announced today that bantamweight champion Ronda Rousey will attempt to defend her title for the fifth time when she squares off against undefeated Kat Zingano on January 3rd in Las Vegas. Zingano earned a shot at Rousey last year but missed the fight because of an ACL injury. Rousey won her last two fights by first round knockout. That's it for Headliners today. Now back to Al to start the show. Phone lines are now open.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Again, thanks a lot, Andrew. Appreciate that, my man. Again, our phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Call in. Give us your thoughts on anything that you want to talk about in the sports world. Of course, this week is a pretty big week when it comes to Michigan and Michigan State football. The big rivalry game will be taking place on Saturday. What do you think is going to happen? And, you know, later on in the show, this will be a fun show because, you know, we haven't done this in a while on Current Sports. I remember, back in the day, when Matt was here, one of our outstanding production assistants who Matt, of course, has now moved to California. But when Matt was here, Matt was a big trivia guy. And he used to bring trivia to the show. We actually would do like one trivia show a month when we first started Current Sports Radio. And it was a fun time. Alex and I would go at it. Alex, do we know what the record was on that? Did you end up beating me in that history? I have no idea, but it was a fun time. I'm going to say I won that whole thing. I'll just say that since we don't know the history. But, you know, it was a fun time. And in light of course, the whole rivalry, Spartans versus Wolverines, thought it'd be kind of cool and fun to bring that back. And have our two interns, Andrew, as you just heard, and Eric Steam. We'll bring them in the studio and rattle them with questions, you know, barrage them with some questions concerning the Michigan and Michigan State football rivalry. Whoever gets the most questions right simply wins. Simple game. So we'll be playing that later on in the show. That should be fun. What we hope to have, one of the personnel, whether it be a coach or a player. We're not sure yet. Still waiting word on the MSU women's cross country team. Now, if you didn't know, the Spartan women's cross country team is, I tell you what, it's hard. You know, it's easy, I should say. It's very easy to overlook what this team has been doing because it is college football season. Every time you turn on your television, I'm sure on ESPN they're talking about college football and also the NFL is going on. Basketball is getting ready to start up. You know, cross country just doesn't get a lot of press in general. But if you've been paying attention closely to MSU athletics, for the first time in program history, I repeat that. For the first time in program history, folks, the Michigan State women's cross country team is ranked numero uno in NCAA Division I cross country. Can you believe that? In the entire nation, they are the number one women's cross country team. Unbelievable stuff. It was announced actually on Tuesday afternoon. After the newest cross-country national coaches poll came out and the Spartans were sitting at number one. Unbelievable stuff there. So, you know, Michigan State, you know, has really been an unbelievable program. When you look at the unbelievable athletes they've had over the years that continue to run for this squad, Rachel Shulist, Leah O'Connor, those two alone are household names. Of course, Leah O'Connor, she's been tearing it up since she came to MSU. She's a senior now. Her and Rachel are actually seniors. Not to mention, of course, juniors like, you know, Lindsey Clark, also seniors, Julia Otell, Sarah Crowell. I mean, we could go on and on and on. This team is certainly special. So what we're hoping is to have one of the coaching personnel, one of the athletes, to talk about this remarkable accomplishment later on in the hour. If we don't get to him, we'll give you a preview of tonight's Current Sports TV, folks. And you can catch Current Sports TV tonight at 10 o'clock, just like each and every Thursday night. Tonight at 10 o'clock, 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. It's going to be a fantastic episode. I tell you what, this guy, again, Ronald Mann is his name. He's a mixed martial artist who is also an amputee. He lost his left leg, in a motorcycle accident when he was 24 years old. went through a very dark period in his life, a period even when he thought about ending his life. It was that dark for him, a very deep, deep state of depression for Ronald, and decided to change his life around, and he found hope, and he found a new life in mixed martial arts. And a remarkable story. It was a very touching sit-down last night with Ronald. I want to extend a thank you to all of those who came out to last night's Current Sports TV. Fantastic time. We had a great audience, and it was a riveting interview, to say the least. So catch all of that, including my preview. I did a preview package on the MSU and Michigan football game, and again, will be taking place on Saturday. And you also get to see highlights from our high school, Current Sports High School Game of the Week that pitted Lansing Everett versus Lansing Sexton for the CAAC Blue title. That was fun to cover. And, yeah, you get to see that, all of that and so much more. Again, that's Current Sports TV tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. I now welcome Alex Schar to the Current Sports Discussion. How you doing, Alex?
Doing good. I'm trying to hang on with my croaky voice, just like you over there.
Can you hear? Do I sound real nasally right now?
It's not that bad.
It's not bad. Okay, I'm always critical of myself, but hearing myself through these headphones right now, I sound very, very nasally. This weather is killing me. It's kicking my butt right
Weather's
now.
Killing you, but the rivalry week is heating up.
Yeah, it is.
Your comments left and right. The Michigan State Dyack thing is blown out of proportion. It's on every social media channel now. So
yeah, it is everywhere. I mean, I went to Freep and MLive and Twitter and Facebook. It seemed as though everybody was talking about the Dyack that was painted green, of course, on Michigan's campus. Yeah, it's definitely a heated one. It's going to be a fun game, I think, on Saturday. I'm still choosing MSU to win big in that game, though, because I just frankly don't believe that Michigan is a good football team, period. So I think it'll be close in the first half, but then MSU just kind of trounces on them in that second half. So, yeah, but what are your thoughts and predictions on that game, folks? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We will take your calls. But first, to start off today's show, Alex, I want to talk about this huge, huge donation that Spartan Athletics received by the Scandalaris family. As you just heard, Andrew Hayes talked about it. It's unbelievable. MSU announced this morning, actually, that the Scandalaris family is providing a $10 million facilities gift to enhance the Spartan football, golf, and basketball programs. Now, the $10 million gift is the largest single gift ever received by MSU Athletics. Now, if you look at this, I mean, first of all, this is truly remarkable because this is certainly a record breaker, a stone-etched history marker here for Spartan Athletics, considering the fact that $10 million has never been given by anyone to the Spartan Athletic program in the history, in Spartan Athletic history. I mean, so this is huge. $10 million is a lot of moolah. And, I didn't know too much about the Scandalaris family before this story, Alex. Of course, I know we go there all the time because that, of course, is the football building. The Scandalaris Football Center is on MSU's campus, and it's the place, if you're driving around campus, you see this big building. It's a big building. It has a glass outer cover, which you can see right in. It's got cool colors in there. And all of the championship trophies are encased in the Scandalaris Center. Now, I didn't know too much about the Scandalaris family, though, and who they were, if they were, if he was a former player or, if she was a former athlete here at Spartan, at MSU, excuse me. But, for those of you that don't know, because I feel as though there are a lot of people that don't know, Bob Scandalaris is a 1974 graduate of the MSU Broad College of Business. Now, he is serving as the co-chairperson of the fundraising campaign, and Bob Scandalaris is also the founder of Quantum Ventures of Michigan, LLC, a corporate investment firm, and has previously founded other investment and private equity firms. Now, Julie Scandalaris, and again, this is coming from Bob and Julie Scandalaris, Julie is an active volunteer and is very instrumental in the Scandalaris Family Foundation. So, I mean, these seem just like, two blue-collar individuals who, again, Bob, who went to MSU, 1974 graduate. He's not a former player at all. Now, however, his son, their son actually was an MSU swimmer. But, I mean, this is just them doing this out of the kindness of their heart. Two individuals who believe and have a very heartfelt love for the MSU athletic program. And it's truly remarkable. It's not like this is coming from a former MSU player here. You know, this isn't like, you know, even though Floyzel Adams also donated, this isn't like a Floyzel Adams or Plaxico Burress or Mateen Cleaves donating and giving back to the university here. I mean, this is just, you know, two individuals who believe what this program has done and really appreciate what MSU in general has done in their lives and decide to break open the wallet and give $10 million. I mean, they're definitely rolling in the dough without a doubt. And, you know, and you know, diving more into this, the money will be divided between the programs with $3 million being used to renovate and make improvements to the training and locker rooms in the Scandalaris Football Center, and another $3 million being used to support the construction of a new MSU golf facility. Now, the pictures are online. If you haven't seen the pictures and the draft up of the golf facility, man, it is nice. It is really, really nice, folks. I find it remarkable because, you know, golf, of course, football and basketball, those are the big dogs. Those are the sports that get a lot of the attention here at MSU and in the nation in general. When you talk about college athletics, you know, a sport like golf doesn't get a lot of press. College golf especially does not get a lot of press. So I find it admirable that, you know, a little bit of that moolah is going to be put towards the golf program and that the golf program is going to be getting its own facility. I can't wait to see it when it's done. Again, if you can Google it, you can go online right now and check it out. It is pretty, pretty cool stuff. And, you know, it's really remarkable to me, you know, how MSU gets contributions like this, not just from the former athletes, like I just stated, you know, like the Mateen Cleaves and the Flozo Adams and so on and so forth, but, you know, how just the blue-collar students who went here, who went on to be very successful in their endeavors, have such a love that they decide to give back $10 million, something like $10 million. I mean, that's unbelievable, unbelievable stuff. And it really speaks to how MSU is truly a family. I mean, how mind-boggling is this to you, Alex? I mean, looking at this, a huge contribution like this, I mean, wow. I said wow when I heard it.
That's the kind of donation that you'll see from University of Michigan Athletics with all the donors and the funding. And like you said, this is the first time that Michigan State Athletics have ever received a donation this large. And for me, aside from football and basketball and helping those specific programs, the golf facility, and you see the performances from Liz Nagel last year and all the Big Ten mentions and the men's golf team and the traveling that they do, and that's a sport I feel that a lot of times doesn't necessarily get the recognition, because they're certainly recognized, but their facilities are not nearly to the same standard as football and basketball facilities.
I agree. I don't think they're recognized enough, to be honest, Alex. I mean,
really?
you rarely hear. I mean, when is it, other than when we, you know, have a guest on here or they're mentioning our Quick Hit Headliners or just in daily life when you turn on your radio or watch TV? I mean, when is college golf ever talked about?
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's never talked about. You know what I mean? And when you have an unbelievable program like that is of MSU, I mean, Stacey Sablotnick-Stoll has done a remarkable job and is churning out PGA talent just about every single year. I mean, Caroline Powers, I mean, she's the greatest golfer in MSU history.
Has
gone on now to do great things in the PGA. I mean, that it should be talked about more, I think.
Yeah, and you made the whole example last week that golf as a whole needs leaders. And we talked about the whole USA committee that's supposed to help build a better
the
Ryder Cup team committee. So maybe this is the answer. Maybe there needs to be more college golf coverage, and that can be the breeder to building more USA talent.
Maybe
that's it.
That's a Pandora's box, I think, that is yet to be opened. And it will be kind of exciting to see where that goes, if it is. I mean, when have you turned on the Big Ten Network, though, and they're talking about college golf? I mean, that never happens. But yeah, it's truly remarkable, though. And, you know, I tell you what, with donations like this and the kinds of donations that MSU has been getting through the years and new facilities and the new upgrades that they are getting, I tell you what, MSU is competing with any athletic program in the nation right now, folks, as far as facilities go, atmosphere, accomplishments. I mean, in every facet, you can make an argument for MSU being, you know, one of the top dogs in the nation So it's fantastic stuff. All right, well, let's transition now. Let's talk a little Red Wings here briefly, Alex, because, you know, it's really, if you're a Red Wings fan out there, you got to be smiling. You got to be feeling pretty good about Pavel Datsyuk, of course, being back with this squad. I mean, I tell you what, watching that Montreal Canadiens game and seeing that spin backhand, I mean, how sweet was that? Even though it didn't count because they said it was, you know, goalie interference on Justin Abdelkader, but still, I mean, that just shows you what Datsyuk can do. I think, you know, having him back, having a guy like him back, certainly can be a something that can re-energize this team a little bit. You know, he's so creative. He's magical on the ice. Again, yeah, I mean, you saw a little bit of that with the spinning backhand with 8 minutes to go in regulation. Of course, they lost in overtime to Montreal, but man, oh man, was that sweet. And you know, I think it's key here. It's a key component here when you look at the Red Wings, Alex, because having both Datsyuk and Zetterberg both back in the lineup, I mean, those are two guys that were line mates for much of their careers, of course, barely played with one another last season because of injuries, but that adds needed chemistry on this young Red Wings team that is still trying to find its stride when it comes to the overall feel for one another. So when you have both Datsyuk and Zetterberg back on the ice, I think this can only allude to positive things for him. And I'm going to be watching, you know, Datsyuk very, very close this year. Again, he's a guy who can be a difference maker game by game by game. And having him in is only a positive thing. But they got to stay healthy. They got to stay healthy, though.
Yeah, and aside from having Datsyuk back, the most positive kind of reinforcement so far is that you do have other playmakers. And people were worried last year that Nyquist wouldn't perform, and he broke down towards the end of the playoffs. And even though Datsyuk, when he was out the first couple games, the Red Wings were still winning. Aside from that 2-1 loss or a 3-2 loss against Anaheim, whatever it was, that game against Anaheim, they were playing really well. Even without Datsyuk, they were playmakers between Zetterberg and Nyquist and a lot of other guys on those second, third lines that were filling the shoes for Datsyuk and still making plays. So at the end of the day, it's great having Datsyuk back, but the youth has given a lot more confidence, I think, for the Red Wings moving forward.
Yeah, I think so. But, it just talks about those, you know, when you talk about the playoffs, I mean, hey, the Red Wings are a franchise that are in many ways expected to go deep in the playoffs. I mean, that's what's become expected of this team, looking at the past history and the storied history that this squad has had. So when they don't, it's a bit odd. In order for them to make big playoff runs, they need veteran leadership to come in and help that younger inexperience, if you will. Guys like Datsyuk and Zetterberg definitely do that. Now, you know, when looking at this team, I think, you know, last year, something that I harped on greatly was their lack and their inability to score in the power play, Alex. Zetterberg and Datsyuk can definitely help in that regard as well. So, hey, they're aggressive. It's great to have them back. You got to be smiling if you're a Detroit Red Wings fan. I'm looking for them to do great things. Again, the Red Wings, I believe they are back in action tonight. I think the Penguins, they play the Penguins tonight at 7:30. So, good stuff there. And really briefly, before we hit our first break, Alex, definitely have to bring up this too. I don't know if you saw this story, but the NBA has failed to pass a draft lottery reform that would sort of, you know, kind of change the mesh of how the draft lottery goes right now and battles back tanking in the NBA. They didn't decide to do anything with it. Now, it was really odd to me that, you know, when the players and coaches met with this whole thing, the coaching personnel and the GMs of the league met, that this didn't go through, because it seems as though, you know, looking at reports, I was watching ESPN yesterday, and it looked as though the talks were heating up when it came to that discussion. So I'm like, okay, maybe this will be a turning point here. Maybe the NBA will finally get it right, change how the draft lottery system works, and, you know, teams that end up with the worst records in the league, you know, aren't guaranteed a top four spot in the NBA. Because frankly, having something as sweet as that in the game of basketball, where really one draft can change your entire franchise. One draft. All it takes is one player. And, you know, because, you know, in basketball, it's such an interesting dynamic, because with basketball, you're playing both sides of the ball. You know, it's such a finesse type of a game. It, you know, one man can really make a huge, huge difference. So in that regard, I mean, teams know that. So if they're having a bad year, I mean, we've seen it so many times in NBA history. And a lot of people forget this. Just to give you a few examples here. If you remember back in 1996, 1997, the San Antonio Spurs season, it was a season that, my goodness, it was not good, folks. It was not good at all. At the beginning of the season, star player David Robinson, a.k.a. the Admiral, Hall of Famer, you know, he was battling back spasms, nagging injury, picked up in the preseason. And, you know, 6 games into the regular season, Robinson had broke his foot in a home game against the Miami Heat. It was going really, really bad at this point. And if you remember, there was a huge coaching change. They started the season 3-15. Coach Bob Hill was fired. General manager Greg Popovich installed himself as the head coach, one of the more genius moves in all of sports. Of course, Pop would lead the Spurs to a final record of, get this, it went 20-62 in Pop's first year. 20-62. And there was speculation that near the end of the year, the Spurs were like, okay, let's just lose some games here so we can get a high pick in the draft. If you remember, that summer, the San Antonio Spurs drafted the one, the only, Tim Duncan, and they went on to be a championship contender from there on out. The team's ascent from 59 wins the previous year to 20 wins the next year remains the second largest single season decline in league history. This has happened before, you know, countless times in 1983 and 1984. The Houston Rockets, they were accused of tanking and getting a high lottery pick. And, of course, the Rockets won the pick and selected Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon, who went on to be, yeah, pretty, pretty good. And then, the Cavaliers in 2002-2003. The Cavs were so bad. And they knew that the 2003 draft was coming up with personnel like Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James. Yeah, they wanted to get a piece of that pie. So it was speculated that they tanked to get a high draft pick, and of course drafted the great LeBron James. So, I mean, this happens so much in sports. I hate to see it because for me, Alex, it dwindles down the product of the NBA and is really a huge turnoff, especially near the end of the season. It's like, okay, these guys are just don't want to be out there at all. The organization knows what they're doing. So I think that Adam Silver and company, and Adam Silver came out and said that, yeah, we want to make a change here, but we didn't feel as though we could do it now. And we didn't feel as though doing it now would have been as efficient because they would have been making a sporadic move and wouldn't been covering all of their bases. That's basically what Adam Silver said in a nutshell here. He didn't want to make, and the owners and GMs didn't want to make a sporadic move here where they didn't cover all bases and didn't alleviate the problem 100%. And could have still left some loopholes here. So they decided to table it and possibly and wait for it. So it was interesting stuff here, folks, because now, you know, the NBA, yeah, at least we got it for one more year. What do you think about tanking in the league? And are you surprised that they didn't do something about it during this meeting? 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Also tweet us at our official Current Sports Twitter page of WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. Let's hit the break. When we come back, we got some trivia for you. That's right. It is rivalry week. We're going to be throwing some questions at our two interns concerning the Michigan and Michigan State football history. How about that? Trivia is coming right back. Don't touch that dial.
Kickoff versus Michigan this weekend.
We need everyone to be at their best.
Looking for it. Oh, touchdown! Michigan State does it. Duncan.
Hand off to TJ. Bulls into the end zone. Touchdown, MSU. The Spartans strike first.
From the kickoff
to the final whistle,
we need Spartan Nation to rise up.
The caper on his feet at the 50.
He's gone.
He's at the 10. He's at the 5. He's into the end zone. Touchdown, MSU.
From the players on the field
to the 75,000 people in the stands,
everyone at Spartan Stadium
can be a playmaker,
a game changer,
a Spartan.
He'll fake it, and he runs, and he's short. Now the Spartans take over.
Spartan Nation is
the pulse of our stadium.
Go right through for MSU.
He's in trouble. Blasted it from behind.
Langford taking it to the corner. He's got the first down and a whole bunch more. Comes back inside the 20. He's gone. Touchdown. Ball game. Michigan State.
So get hype.
Get loud. Give it everything you got.
Because we need you
all game long.
And run down and gang tackle.
Let's go.
The Paul Bunyan Trophy belongs in East Lansing.
It's not over. It will never be over.
It's just starting.
It starts here, so let's bring it.
Oh, boy. I tell you what, if that doesn't get chills up your spine, you don't have a pulse, folks. Yes, the week is here. The day is almost here. Saturday at 3:30 p.m., Michigan State will welcome the Michigan Wolverines to Spartan Stadium. Yes, the rivalry. The rivalry is alive and well right now. That was a snippet from a hype video, if you will, that was released by MSU Athletics yesterday, you know, with different clips of the rivalry. You had a clip of different players like Shalik Calhoun, Curtis Drummond, and so on and so forth. It's a really cool video released to fans to get them ready for this Saturday, sort of a rallying cry to the Michigan State fan base. Pretty cool stuff. And we've been talking about the rivalry all week here on the show and are encouraging you to weigh in on what you think is going to happen this Saturday. Again, the number to call is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I believe we have a caller right now. Ray is on line one. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, Freddie Flintstone and the boys are here in town already.
They are in town, Ray. It's going to be on like Donkey Kong this Saturday. What do you think is going to happen, Ray?
They're talking about dominating your campus and dominating you on the football field. They're asking when Freddie Flintstone and David Brandon want to know when you bully you little brothers ever going to grow up.
Well, I tell you, first off, Ray, don't say you, because I mean we like to be unbiased, non-biased here on WKAR. So hey, you know, even though we are here on the state of on the campus of Michigan State University at WKAR, you know, I like to look at things as a journalist with an unbiased eye. But even with an unbiased eye, Ray, I mean, it's hard for me to choose Michigan to win this game looking at how this season has gone for the Wolverines.
Hey, did you see how they mauled Penn State? They said they're going to come in and maul you guys like that.
Again, Ray, not you guys, Michigan State.
Doesn't that guy look like Freddie Flintstone? Doesn't he look
only
like
Ray.
He talks like he yells yabba dabba do? I don't know how we got beat that bad.
Only Ray. And folks, he's talking about, of course, Brady Hoke. Ray, you're always taking shots at Brady. I think all of Ann Arbor is taking shots at Brady Hoke right now. Do you think this is his last year, Ray? Is this his last year?
This is the key one, buddy. You know, you're going to have to play discipline. I'm going to tell you what they're going to do on Saturday to you.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to try to take cheap shots at you. You know, the second guy in on the fight always gets the penalty. So you guys better play a little discipline football this week. And you know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. Well,
you
know, Ray,
they're going to take some cheap shots at you. You better.
Well, you know what, Ray? I think you should be in the locker room. I think Ray should be in the locker room. That's one. Ray has the formula, folks. Ray has the formula as to what Michigan State should do this Saturday. I tell you what, it's always entertaining call, to say the least, when Ray calls in. Again, folks, you can call in just like Ray just did and give your thoughts on what is going to take place, the rivalry matchup, Michigan versus Michigan State at 3:30 p.m. Again, the number to call is 517-355-9527. And in light of Rivalry Week, we decided to have a little fun here on the show. We've been talking about it day in and day out here on Current Sports. Who's going to win? You know, we talked about the D'Antonio presser on Tuesday. I'll be highlighting it tonight again on Current Sports TV. I mean, we've been talking about it throughout the week, so we want to have a little fun with it as well. We haven't done this in a while. We used to do trivia back in the day here on Current Sports. We decided to bring that feel back for today's show. Well, here it is. Michigan versus Michigan State football trivia with our two interns, Eric Steem and Andrew Hayes. All right, well, here it is, folks. Andrew and Eric are now in the studio. They look a little nervous, but ready, confident to say the least. First off, fellas, how you doing, man? Happy Thursday. Happy Thursday, Eric.
Thanks, Al. Good to be on the air with you.
Definitely. Excited. Are you ready?
I love trivia. We'll see what these questions are.
Do you think you're going to win? You think you can take Andrew in this? Is your knowledge of MSU Michigan football
well,
greater
actually,
than Andrew's?
We both grew up out of state here, so.
Oh, nice. This should be interesting.
We're more recent to this scene, but we'll see what happens.
But you guys are both Spartans, to say the least. So, yeah. What about you, Andrew? How you feeling?
First of all, I wasn't nervous until the music came on. That was, I mean, now I'm shaking.
Are you? Right.
However, I'm somewhat confident in my Michigan State football knowledge. I don't want to say I'm cocky, but I'm supremely confident in this current matchup that we have right now.
Okay, well, here we go. A current matchup. I like that. All
right.
Eric versus Andrew. Here we go. How this will work is I have 9 questions here. Whoever gets the most right, of course, wins. Now, I'll start one by one with you all. We decided to order during our first break. I flipped a coin. Eric, you called heads. It was tails. Andrew decided to go first and start this puppy off. Andrew, if you do get this question wrong, or and same goes for you as well, Eric. Whoever gets the question wrong, that other person will have a chance to steal. If that person does not steal, I'll just give you guys the answer and we'll move on. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Sounds pretty fair? All right, let's go. Let's start this thing. All right, first question, Andrew, for you. What year did Michigan Agricultural College, that's what it was called, MAC back in the day, that's what MSU was called back in the day, folks. What year did MAC finally get its first win over U of M? Is it, Alex jumped to go to the music. Oh, I'm going to give him the choices here. A, 1899, B, 1905, C, 1913, or D, 1919.
I can't believe these cats get choices. We didn't get choices.
Yeah, I wanted to make it easy. It's their first time in trouble. I didn't want to throw them into the fire, you know?
All right, fair.
I was about to just say 1999 because I had no idea. I'm going to go with B, 1905.
Okay, he says B, 1905. Let's see if that is correct. It is. Yeah, that's not right. That's not right. So we'll eliminate B. Now, Eric, you have a chance to steal here. Okay, I'll repeat the choices. Now, you know it's not 1905.
Right.
You got A, 1899, C, 1913, or D, 1919.
I think 1899. I think it's pretty old.
1899 is also... Yeah, that is also wrong. The answer, folks, is C, 1913, John Macklin's Aggies beat the Wolverines 12-7 in Ann Arbor behind Gideon Smith, one of the first black players in college football history. All right, well, you both take L's there. Nobody gets any points on the board. Let's go to our second question here. Now, Eric, it is on you now. Michigan State College's 1934 win over the Wolverines involved what future political figure? Here are your choices. A, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. B, Gerald Ford. C, Harry Truman. Or D, Joseph McCarthy.
I believe that's B, Gerald Ford.
B, Gerald Ford is what the man says. And B is... Woo, correct. Yes, Gerald Ford, the future president of the United States, was a center for the Michigan Wolverines. Let's see here. The 16-0, he went 16-0 exactly. That was the record, I guess, to the Spartans that year. Well, no, that was the score. 16-0 was the score. Gerald Ford gets the win there. How about that? All right, yes, Gerald Ford. Well, there you go. Well, there we go. We're keeping score here. Eric, you now have a 1-0 lead over Andrew. Andrew, how you feeling, man? Did you know that one?
That was an absolute softball.
That was a softball.
I don't know how the question selection has happened so far,
yeah,
but I expect another softie coming.
Well, let's see. Let's see if this. Hopefully, this is a soft one for you. All right, we'll go with Andrew now on this one. We're fluctuating here. Okay, next question. Of the first 40 meetings between the schools, how many were played in East Lansing, Andrew? A, 4, B, 2, C, 8, or D, 16?
I'm going to go with C this time because I should pick C every time because that's what you're supposed to pick on tests, and I don't know, so that's what I'm going with. I'm going to go with C. I should have gone with that for my first answer.
I used to pick C all the time too, Andrew. That's like the golden rule, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't know, you go with C.
Exactly. Well, I wish that golden rule was right in this case.
Darn it.
It is not. It is wrong. All right, Eric, you got another chance. You got another chance, my man, to steal here.
The first 40 or the last 40?
Of the first 40 meetings between the schools, how many were played in EL?
I'm going to say four.
Well, four is the right answer.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, 2-0. Eric is rolling right now. For years, Michigan scoffed at the idea of playing a home-and-home series with its rival. But, yes, four is the correct answer. That's how many games were played in East Lansing in the first 40 meetings. How about that, Eric? Was that a total guess, or did you really know that?
I didn't think it was 16, so it was kind of 50-50.
Okay.
And I just picked right.
Well, how about that?
He helped me eliminate it, so appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
All right, well, it goes back to you now, Eric. We're fluctuating here. Okay. Name the Spartan who knocked Michigan in Jim Clancy out cold in MSU's 1965 win in Ann Arbor. Is it A, Charlie Mad Dog Thornhill, B, the great Bubba Smith, C, George Webster, or D, Jess Settles?
Man, I have no idea. All the Spartan faithful are going to be upset. I say A, Mad Dog, just because he's got a cool nickname.
Okay, yeah, Charlie Mad Dog. Yeah. That is a really cool nickname. Yeah. Well, Eric says A, Charlie Mad Dog Thornhill, and that is completely wrong. All right.
Yep.
All right, Andrew. Well, he just eliminated one for you. This is a chance for you to get on the board now. It's 2-0. Is it B, Bubba Smith, C, George Webster, or D, Jess Settles?
I'm going to go with B because that was my second favorite name on the list.
Okay. Well, you know what? I was really rooting for you here, Andrew, because,
God,
you know, you should have went with C.
Darn it.
It's C, George Webster. Yeah.
I abandoned my system after one bad choice, and look what happens.
And look what happens. It's C. George Webster, the late George Webster, who is widely regarded as the best player in MSU football history. So that was C. George Webster. Okay. Well, who'd I start? Let's see. It goes back to Andrew,
right? That was my question.
Okay. Andrew, you got a chance to get back on the board here.
I need this.
Here we go.
Yeah, you do.
Of the 20 meetings in the 1950s and 60s, how many did MSU win? Is it A, 8, B, 14, C, 12, or D, 10?
Oh, jeez. All those three at the end are so clumped together.
They are, 14, 12, and 10, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 14.
He's going with 14. Is that the correct answer? It is the correct answer.
Nice.
Woo!
Back
14,
at it, baby.
That's right. It's now 2-1. Yeah, 14. Michigan won 4. And the teams actually tied twice out of that 14. So there you have that. All right. Well, 2-1. Eric, you are leading. You have a chance to extend that lead right now. How you feeling?
I'm feeling okay.
Feeling okay?
My guessing skills are a little better than his.
So. There you go. So, yeah. So none of these questions other than the Presidente question has been really concrete for you guys. All right.
Good questions, though.
Yeah, pretty good stuff, right? In 1969, MSU coach Duffy, the great Duffy, beat a U of M rookie head coach in Spartan Stadium. Name him. Is it A, Bump Elliott, B, Fritz Kreisler, C, Gary Moeller, or D, Bo Schembechler?
I'm going to go with D, Bo Schembechler.
Oh, my God.
It is D.
Woo!
Bo Schembechler. Yes, Bo Schembechler. Schembechler won 13 of the next 14 games against MSU after that year of 1969. So, yeah, he was definitely feeding for some revenge. What is it? It's 3-1 now, I believe. 3-1 now.
That was one of my dad's favorite coaches, so I got to
thank
him for that. Yeah.
Okay.
He's a big Michigan fan.
Well, thanks to Mr. Steam, I guess.
Yep,
there you go.
Mr. Steam.
Yeah, he's the man. All right. Well, Andrew, you got a chance to get back on the board here and then get inch closer to that lead that Eric has. Here's your next question. MSU coach George Perlis got his first win over U of M in 1984 in Ann Arbor. Name the U of M quarterback who suffered a broken neck. Well, a broken arm, excuse me. Broken neck would be really bad, right? My bad. See, I'm still in Ronald Mann mode here. Ronald Mann talked a lot about breaking necks on Current Sports TV, which you'll see tonight. But no, broken arm, a broken arm in the game. Was it A, Rick Leach, B, Jim Harbaugh, C, Steve Smith, or D, Demetrius Brown?
84, I'm going to go with Harbaugh.
You said B. It is B, Jim Harbaugh. Ooh, that's nice. Right. Jim Harbaugh, who got trapped in the pileup in the Wolverines' 19-7 loss. Jim was actually, he had to be carted off the field, laying kind of motionless on the ground. That's a tough time in the history of this rivalry. All right. Back to you, Eric. It's now 3-2. Andrew's trying to inch closer and closer. Here we go. How many interceptions did Michigan quarterback Demetrius Brown throw in MSU's 17-11 win in 1987? Is it A, 3, B, 5, C, 7, or D, 9?
Okay. No way he threw 7 or 9. So I'm gonna go 5.
You said 5, and that is completely wrong.
Oh, boy.
I love our wrong answer music. That is long and drawn out. Like you feel like crap for a while.
You feel a million times worse because of the horn.
Gotta love that. All right, Andrew, back to you. How many INTs did Michigan quarterback Demetrius Brown throw in that 17-11 Spartan win in 1987? You get your choices are 3, 5, 7, and 9. Of course, B is eliminated. Eric went with 5.
I'm going to use the same line of thought that Eric had. There's no way a person threw 7 or 9 interceptions in a single game. So I'm going to go with 3.
That is also wrong.
What? Oh, my goodness.
Yes, you both are wrong on that one. Gotta love that. It was a bad day. A very bad day for Demetrius Brown. He threw 7, guys. He threw 7 interceptions. Incredible, right? 4 of them, he was trying to target MSU safety John Miller. John Miller caught all 4 of those interceptions. So, man, he was, I guess he just said, I'm going to throw in the area of John Miller and just get intercepted all day. But, yeah, 7 interceptions. How crazy is that, right? Okay, next question goes to Eric now, right? Well, is it Andrew?
No, that's me.
It's Andrew now. I'm getting confused here. All right. All right, Andrew, you ready?
You got to tie this up here.
Here we go. Your chance to tie here. 3-2. In U of M's 10-7 win in East Lansing in 1989, Wolverine safety Trip Wellborn stuffed, which MSU player at the goal line in a key play? Was it A, Blakey Zoor, B, Tico Duckett, C, Lorenzo White, or D, Highland Hickinson? Well, Hickson, excuse me.
Ooh. I'm going to go Lorenzo White.
You went with Lorenzo White, and that is wrong.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. All right, Eric. Chance to steal there. You know it's not.
Yeah, I am going to go Mr. Duckett on that one.
You're going with Mr. Duckett, and that is also wrong. That's also wrong as well.
Really?
Yeah, you dodged a bullet there, Andrew. It is actually Blakey Zoor. He was stopped cold on a 4th and goal in the 4th quarter. So there you have that. Again, that took place in 1989.
All right.
Okay, let's see here. Well, the score is, let's see. Well, no, that's all the questions we have.
That's it?
That is it. I thought I had more here. Yeah, that's 9 questions for you all.
Oh, man, that flew by.
Yeah,
man,
didn't that fly
that
by?
Fly
Eric,
by.
You are our winner.
Man, I appreciate it.
How you feeling?
I'm ready to go to Disney or something.
Are you?
Let's go. Yeah.
Take him to Disneyland. Good stuff. I learned a lot, though. You guys learned a lot in that trivia.
Very educational.
Very educational. Hopefully you learned a lot out there as well. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show and bring to you a snippet of tonight's current sports TV. Don't miss it, folks. Keep it tuned. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Man, that was a fun segment right there, Michigan and MSU football trivia. Of course, Eric Steem, our intern, takes away that one. Man, I love this song, too. That's Luther Vandross here on this Throwback Thursday. Yes, each and every Thursday we play throwback music here on the show. Gotta love Luther, right? But that was fun stuff. Eric Steem takes away the crown of Michigan and MSU football trivia here on Current Sports. Gotta love that. Right now, we'll just play you a quick snippet from our Current Sports TV interview that will be taking place tonight. His name is Ronald Mann. He's a mixed martial artist who's also an amputee. And I tell you what, his story is so intriguing. So it's one that that tugs on the heartstrings and really inspires you. So I want to play a snippet like I do each and every week of the of Current Sports TV, whoever my guest is, just to play you a small snippet of that interview. Here's Ronald Mann, and this is right after he told us the story of how he was injured in a motorcycle accident and what took place after that. Here's Ronald Mann.
You know, I didn't have insurance when I got out of the military. Like, you've got insurance for 90 days. I was 92 days when I got hit, so I was wiped. They put me out of the hospital in 7 days and said, go back to your family. And for the first 30 days, I just lay there in bed, and I didn't know. I was 24. Like, I thought that was the end of my life. Like, that I was in the prime of my life. I thought I was done. My family raised enough money for me to get my first basic prosthetic. And so then I started working and training. 60 days out, I started lifting weights. 90 days out, we started searching for a gym. I was on the Army Taekwondo team, and back then, nobody would take me here. I'd gone to Michigan State's Taekwondo team. They said, no, you can't train, you can't train, you can't train. Went to Julian Laredo's, which is now American Martial Arts and Fitness Academy. That's my home. And they told me, yeah, you can train here, but you're going to do everything we do, or else you can go home. And that was the mentality I needed. I needed that we're not going to treat you like you're less than able. You're not any less than us. You're going to do everything we do. And that's a Jeet Kune Do philosophy. Take what works for you, put the rest away, and make it your own art.
Now, on the way to the hospital, I mean, you told me that you actually flatlined twice, right?
I flatlined twice in the chopper ride. Dougie, we were both combat medics overseas. He saved my life, and much respect and love to him. But I remember dying. I remember flatlining. I remember everything closing in. You can still hear things. It gets darker and darker and darker until finally you can't see anything. You can still hear the nurse screaming at you, and then everything goes silent. So I don't know. She brought me back twice. I don't know what's out there. That's part of Zen Buddhism. I don't really need to know. I know if I'm a good man and I do the right thing and I continue to do this, I'll go to a good spot.
Well, you are certainly in a good spot right now, Ronald, on a more positive note now. I mean, when you went through that whole ordeal, I remember you and I talking, and you said that you went through a deep period of depression.
Yeah.
How did you lift yourself out of that, and what gave you hope?
It was the first 30 days was brutal. Like, I mean, there was nobody else out there. I looked online. I couldn't find any other athletes. I couldn't find anybody who was a martial artist, and martial arts has always been my rock. Like, that's always what I clung to. And I remember 30 days, I had a gun on a table. And I was at my family's house, and I had it cocked. And for something came to my head and said, no, you know, you're not going to go out like this. You're not going to go out like a punk. You're going to go out fighting. And if things go happen down the road where you pass, I mean, we all end up dying. We're all coming to that end. Life is very precious. It's only for this moment right now. I wasn't going to waste that opportunity. So I started getting back up and fighting. I had to have my friends bring weights to me in the gym because I couldn't carry them. Started getting physically stronger. I found a prosthetist who built my leg, Larry Lloyd. He's not with us anymore, but he was the first one that said, I can do anything I want. Mm-hmm. Other prosthetists are like, well, you could walk again, or you could bowl. I was like, I want to fight. Well, I don't know about all that. And then eventually I ended up with Jan Stokoza, Stokoza Prosthetics in Okemos, and he has been my Sufu, my teacher, my brother, my guidance. He was on the 1972 Olympic judo team, mm-hmm. and blew his knee out. So we have a very similar past. And he's guided me along my journey as a martial artist and as a fighter. He's cornered me. He's always been there for me. He makes this leg that I walk on, he designed this. No, everybody told me I couldn't have a suction system. My leg was too short. It was too short of an amputation. Mm-hmm. This leg right here, he was the first one to design something like this for fighting, to where it's got the wedge system, because when I kick, the foot rotates outward. This wedge system keeps it locked solid.
Right, right. And that's the leg you use to fight with.
This is the leg that I go in the cage with. This is what I train with every day with. This last fight when you saw me, that's what I fought with. We padded up safely to make it safe for everybody else. Mm-hmm. I'm the first one. This is a sport. I'm not out there to harm anybody unreasonably. We do get harmed, but it's not because of this. It's because of my skill as a martial artist. That's what I do.
Definitely, definitely. And when you first got this leg, I mean, when it entered the ring, I mean, your first fight is something that my jaw was on the floor when I heard this story. Can you talk about your first fight? Because your opponent really had no idea.
Well, I was banned out of Michigan for a long time, they wouldn't let me fight in Michigan. So we'd go down to Chicago, we'd go to Fort Wayne, we went out to Iowa. My first kickboxing match, they asked 2 years after I started training, they asked me if I wanted to fight. We went down to Chicago for a kickboxing match, and they told me, no, I don't think so. So we snuck in. Didn't tell anybody that I was an amputee. I wore long pants, weighed in with long pants on. You know, you're supposed to strip, but I was at weight, so I just wore long pants. Mm. When I was worn them up, I had my teammates around me to get, you know, so nobody could tell. Got my leg in. We fought the first round. First round banged real hard. Second round, near the last 30 seconds of the second round, a couple jabs, threw an axe kick, which comes up and comes straight across his face. He leaned back, but dropped his hands, cranked him, starched him. And complete knockout. And that was my first realization that I'm equal. I'm just as good as, I just knocked that man out cold in combat with no adaptive rules. So I'm jumping around the ring, I'm so excited, and I go to the center of the ring and I take my leg out, I pull it out raised above my head, and the entire arena just goes silent because they didn't know. Nobody knew. The judges didn't know, the ref didn't know, my opponent didn't know. And then it was just an explosion. People understood. It was like, oh my God, this guy just did this. He just did this.
Yeah.
And from then on, it's still been a battle. Like, some people will fight me. They want adaptive rules. I don't do any of that. To me, like I said, I'm a fighter. I've overcome my disability. The prosthetics are so good, it's a mental thing. If you want something bad enough in life, we all have our cross to bear. We all have strengths and weaknesses. But if you want something bad enough, you'll get it. Prosthetics let me do that.
And in a way, Ronald, I mean, you and I talked and you said that it's kind of tough to find fighters who are willing to fight you, because when they hear about your disability, they say, okay, well, I don't know if I want to go in the ring. I mean, how tough is that? And that's, in a way, that's got to be, you take it as disrespect, right?
It is. It's really disrespectful to me. I'm 16-2. You know, I've fought able-bodied guys. I've never injured anybody with my leg. You know, it's a sport. We're not there in rage. It's not a bar fight. We're not there as rage. We train the same. We discipline ourselves the same. Most of us meditate, follow that same emotional path. Martial arts strengthens the body, creates a human body that's near perfection. Look at Bruce Lee's body, near perfection. But it also is an emotional journey. It brings you to a higher level. It teaches you respect, discipline, humility, things like that.
Yeah, gotta love that. That's Ronald Mann. We just wanted to play just a quick snippet, just a quick preview to preview my sit down with him tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR TV. As you can just see, I mean, Ronald comes off, and just if you ever met Ronald before, because he's certainly a staple in the community. He's been around doing some motivational speaking and getting to know the community in general. And I tell you what, when I first met Ronald, it was one of those experiences that I just kind of had to just take a step back. I mean, even though I was the interviewer, you know, asking him the questions, I mean, he just took me on this journey, an unbelievable journey that really inspired me and inspires anybody to just better their lives. It's one of the more inspirational interviews I've ever done. You do not want to miss it again tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. You'll also get to see my preview of the MSU and Michigan game taking place this Saturday. Yes, 3:30 p.m. Boy, I tell you, it's rivalries in the air, folks. All of that and so much more can be seen tonight on Current Sports TV. I want to extend a heartfelt thank you to all of you who tune into today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870. It's been a great one, folks. As always, take care. Have a fantastic Thursday. And as always, be easy, people.